from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Kyle Madsen here. James Hamm there. Talking a ton of Kings today following their 109-107 win against the Magic in Orlando on Saturday. They are in action again tonight at Golden 1 Center against the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll get some keys to a Kings victory coming up in a bit, but we were talking about Mike Brown in the last segment and the fact that the Kings on Saturday recorded their 41st win. It'll be their second time, assuming they win one of their final 12 games. I think they will. I'm confident they can go 1-11 minimum. Assuming they win one of those games, they'll be above 500 for back-to-back seasons for the first time since 2005 and 2006, the seasons that ended in those years, which is nuts. And it's important to kind of, I think, zoom out a little bit. I know it's hard to do in the heat of a season, in the heat of a playoff race where the Kings are trying to get the 6 seed, maybe the 4 seed. They're trying to track down the Clippers and the Pacific. There's all this stuff going on, and all that stuff matters, and we will continue to cover that very closely. But I think it's worth kind of zooming out too, because we've done quite. I shouldn't say we. You don't complain. I complain. I've done a lot of complaining this year about the Kings, just because it felt like 48 wins again would be like. Like, that's kind of that's kind of a bummer. And I think in the scope of, yeah, hey, if everything goes right and everybody improves and everything's great and the Chris Duarte signing works and Keegan Murray makes a leap, like, yeah, 55 wins might have been on the table. But also that was going to take a lot. And in reality, backing up a 48-win season with another, let's just say they go 48 and 34 again, backing up another 48-win season with a 48-win season for the Sacramento Kings is like, that's a huge deal. And yeah, there would be improvements to make and you got to get better. And I understand all that. And I'm with you. I rock with that. But at the same time, I think it's worth recognizing that the Kings are in a very good spot with an upward trajectory for the first time in forever. It's important to not lose sight of that.
No, I totally agree with that. And, you know, again, Mike Brown is the ninth head coach that I've covered in my 14 years in Sacramento. My 14 years covering the team.
Mm-hmm.
Nine. And like for somebody to walk in the door, take a team that was totally incomplete, that hadn't won the year before, to have them go out and bring in Malik Monk, who, like, for what Malik Monk has become, Malik Monk was not that when he got here. To bring in a guy like Kevin Huerter, to bring along a draft pick like Keegan Murray last year, to have all of these pieces thrown in the pot in one season. Even Trey Lyles had come over at the trade deadline the year before, right? So you basically, Mike Brown inherited a team that was pretty much just three players that had played the year together the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And Fox, Barnes, and Davion Mitchell. And Mitchell was a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
You put all those pieces together and you go into a year with a bunch of new players, Sabonis, Lyles, you know, Huerter, Monk, and Murray. That's your rotation. Those eight players are basically your rotation. To walk into that year and post the highest offensive rating in the history of the NBA is absolutely bonkers.
Yep.
To jump from, like, what was it, 31 wins to 48?
30
to 48. 18-win jump. That is bonkers.
Without adding, like, a superstar.
Yeah.
In that, I guess they traded for Sabonis in the middle of the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
But it was largely, like, the way they finished the 21-22 season didn't give ideas of, oh, hey, this team might push 50 wins next year.
No. It made you think, okay, they might have a chance to make it to 500.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. It was like,
they might have a shot.
They could like, maybe be a play-in team and maybe fight for that last playoff spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they go 48 wins and they finish as the number three seed and they are a broken finger away from winning a playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's it's enormous. It's such a massive jump. And I understand. I don't want this to come off like if you're frustrated with how this year has gone that you're wrong. Like I understand there's reasons to be frustrated in the scope of this year, but I think it's also it's important to kind of zoom out and go, man, this team's in a good spot, and I'm trying to not be scarred by moves of Kings past where somebody in the building goes, yeah, hey, 48 wins again, that's nice, but we need to do better, so let's blow this up, see ya.
Yeah.
Where a bunch of major changes get made, whether it's to the roster, the coaching staff, or the front office, or whatever. I just, as great as this run has been, and we're talking about the Kings in a playoff context, and not like, hey, who watched the tournament? Who should they draft? Like, that's really nice. But I can't get that thought out of the back of my head of like, man, I
don't
really
mess
hope,
this up.
I really hope that
don't,
they
don't mess
let
it
this
up.
Ride.
Yeah, don't mess it up. Yeah. Hey, look, I think that what we're looking at right now is what Mike Brown has been talking about the whole season. We cannot walk into a playoff series and try to get better defensively in a playoff series like we did last year.
Mm-hmm.
We're horrible defensively all year long. We get to the playoffs against the Warriors, and now we got to learn how to play defense.
Mm-hmm.
We have to establish a culture that we can play defense. And
yes.
What he's done the last 27 games of the season after the break, whatever that is, it has been nothing. Like his goal is to get them to playoff defense now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who they are when they get to the playoffs. So
yes.
We don't have this whole thing where it's like, man, a guy ran out of gas because he had to play defense. No, you need to learn how to play defense in game 64 and how to play offense still in game 64, not in game 83, 84, 85, 86.
Mm-hmm.
And that's big. And so we'll see how it works in the playoffs. I don't know what to expect from this team. If they make the playoffs, like they could have a couple more slip-ups and they could be in a play-in and they could not make it. But at the same time, even if that were the case, like, stay the course. Like,
yeah.
Don't be foolish.
Yeah.
Like, I swear the biggest fear for me is always, will you not have learned from what you've done in the past?
Right.
You know, it's like the basics of history, you know?
This isn't apples to apples, but follow my cross-sport metaphor here. It reminds me a little bit of, there's two ways to do this with the 49ers. I think you can look at them for recent history of this. You have the Jim Harbaugh run where 2011, 12, 13, they go NFC title game, Super Bowl, NFC title game. They end each year with a loss. 2014, there's dissension between the owner and the head coach. They go, I think they went 8-8. I think they beat the Cardinals in week 17 that year to go 8-8. And then they punt the head coach. And then it's a disastrous Jim Tomsula year. It's a disastrous Chip Kelly year. They bring in Kyle Shanahan and they say, hey, we're riding this thing.
Yep.
We're going to let 17 bad year, 18 bad year, up 19 Super Bowl. And they've been in the mix every year since because they wrote it out.
Stability means everything.
It's man. Dude, it is so important. Can you imagine after 21 when they lost the NFC title game? If Jed York had been like, oh, well, this is well short. We're supposed to hang Super Bowl banners here, not division banners. Get them out.
Yeah,
that's nuts. That's crazy,
man. I just tell you, I, just breaking it down year by year. There's so many times where the Kings could have snap their playoff streak. Like, again, what did they miss the playoffs under Luke Walton? They missed the playoffs by 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a year that instead of bringing back Bogdan Bogdanovic, your starting shooting guard, you let him walk and you signed Glenn Robinson III and Hassan Whiteside as your only two additions.
Crazy.
The trade deadline comes mm-hmm. and goes and you don't do anything major that would change the trajectory of your team.
Mm-hmm.
All it took was one player could have easily equaled 2 wins mm-hmm. to match to get you into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that fully matters, but again, go back to the Michael Malone era.
Mm-hmm.
If DeMarcus Cousins doesn't get viral meningitis, the Kings likely make the playoffs. The game of basketball is like the game of football in that it's inches.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a game of inches, but it's in a different way. Like the mistakes that you make 1 year can cast doubt on 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And so for me, just stay the course, figure this thing out, support, find the right pieces to go mm-hmm. with these players that you understand aren't the right pieces now. And yeah, maybe Kevin Huerter just threw a wrench in all of that with a shoulder injury. That very well could be.
Right, but as a front office, you have to adjust to that.
Yeah.
And as a team, you adjust to that.
Yeah.
You don't go, get rid of the coach. Get rid of the coaching staff.
Well, that didn't
get rid of these players now.
Shout out to Mike Brown. Shout out to Dutch Gately and their
great Dutch
their development
Gately.
Staff.
Yeah.
Shout out to those guys who have helped an undrafted free agent
mm-hmm.
become your starting shooting guard in mm-hmm. a playoff run.
And a potential game-changing player.
Defensive stopper.
Yes.
Who knew that, somebody had an inkling.
Yeah.
But what they've done to bring him along and to help him become this player, spectacular.
Yeah.
And that's what, it's part of the whole package.
Yep.
It's not one guy that developed Keon Ellis. It's everybody instilling faith in Keon Ellis, bringing him along. He easily could have been with the Stockton Kings all season long,
yep.
and he wasn't. He's been with the parent team the whole year.
All right, so we're talking Kings playoffs, 48, 50 wins. Tough stretch starts tonight. I know we're all looking ahead to those Mavericks games on Tuesday and Friday. They got to get past the Sixers first. How do they knock off the Sixers? We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. We're back. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm.
I didn't hear rejoinder music or anything, Kyle.
Oh, yeah. No, you sure don't. My bad. There you go.
Oh,
hopefully the Kings are better tonight against the Sixers than I was on that rejoin.
There we go.
Kings Sixers tonight at 7:00 at Golden One Center. And this is a 76ers team that heading into the year looked like a championship contender. Joel Embiid looked like the MVP candidate.
The MVP.
He was on track for that until he got hurt. And now the Sixers have really struggled to find wins without him. They have fallen from near the top of the East to tied with the Miami Heat for that final play-in spot. They are a game back. They're tied in the loss column with the Heat and the Pacers. They're 39-32 along with Miami. The Pacers now 40-32, holding on to the final playoff spot in the East. So the team we talked about last week going, hey, you know what? Looking ahead at this schedule for the Kings, it's a game you got to get. That's a Sixers team that's not playing well. They're going to be on the second night of a back-to-back after playing the Clippers. It's their fourth game on a 4-game road trip. And then they go out and they wax the Clippers yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And they played really, really well. And again, this is sandwiched around a couple of losses to the Suns and Lakers to kick off that road trip, and then a win over Miami at home on Monday. So they're 2-2 in their last 4, 3-2 in their last 5.
Mm-hmm.
Are you concerned at all that they're starting to figure it out? Or are you looking at this as a game where you're going, you know what, the Kings need to smoke this team. The Kings need to kind of dominate.
Okay.
Because to me, I'm trying to dig out a win against Philly any way I can.
That's the key, man. I don't care. Like, this is a team you've lost 10 consecutive times to.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care how you win.
Yeah.
Just go in, put on a good show on your home court, and beat a team that you need to. You lost every single bit of leeway with me.
Yep.
When you lost to Washington. We talked about this 8-game stretch.
Yep.
And it wasn't that bad. It was Memphis. You had, who was the team after Memphis?
Toronto.
Toronto, followed by, again, you've got Washington, and you got Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
There's 4 games. You're 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
You had no room for error. You need to go 7-1, 6-2 at the worst in this stretch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you're faced with a much, like the last 4 games, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Philly, you got Dallas twice, and then you finish with Jazz. Like, but I think you and I both, we could fully see this team winning the next 3 games and then losing to the Jazz on the weekend. Yeah. And just being stunned. Like, what in the world just happened?
I have no feel anymore. No. I have no feel.
Mm-mm.
I got nothing for you.
I think I felt that most of this season, though. Like, most seasons, I can tell you, even if they're bad, they're probably going to get this one tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, why would they get this one?
Just vibes.
Vibes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the team pretty well. Like, I've been around them a lot. I can kind of tell you what I feel like they're going to do. But a game like tonight, I have no idea. You have to understand the gravity of everything, though, that you've got 2 games against Dallas coming up that might mean everything.
Yeah.
Like, talk about ending a team's season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you beat Dallas twice, they're in the play-in, and you're not. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's these other 2 games that you're looking at. Like, and every time that you feel like this team has taken that step, they remind you. They remind you in some egregious way that they are willing to lose a game that they have no business losing.
That's what worries me tonight.
Yeah.
This Sixers team isn't the Wizards. It's not like, oh, you gotta, this is one of the worst. They're not that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, given what's ahead on the schedule, this is one you kind of got to get. So I will take a W any way they can get it. How do they get it? Let's start with our keys to victory, James, number one.
Don't let Tobias Harris look like an all-NBA player.
Don't let Tobias Harris look like the contracts he's gotten in his career?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Don't let it happen.
That's when we talked about it earlier. I want to see Keegan on Tobias Harris, and I want to see him defending a bigger player as well as he defends some of the guards we've seen him guard. Number one for me, throw the kitchen sink at Tyrese Maxey.
Amen.
Maybe it's some Keegan, maybe it's some Keon, maybe it's some De'Aaron Fox. I'm guessing it'll primarily be Keon Ellis, but Tyrese Maxey is a good enough player that if you throw the same look at him over and over and over again, he is eventually going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I would like to see the Kings switch that up. Maybe, I know Mike Brown doesn't love a zone, but maybe throw a little zone at him, switch up the defenders, switch up the looks, and try and limit him as best you can. Number two.
Let Buddy have it. Kings fans need to bring the buddy love the whole night long. Just make sure he knows, because I don't think he's responded all that well against the Kings. And this is, you just keep getting to face him this season because he got traded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this should be a game where Buddy hears it for some negative comments towards Sacramento.
Yeah. Yeah. Just make sure that the Kings players are okay with the booing.
Mm.
I don't want anyone to get super thrown off. Just like, boo, but Buddy Hield. It's Buddy Hield. Boo, Buddy, though. Him. That guy.
No.
Just make sure they know. I don't want anyone getting mad. Number two for me, don't let any, and this kind of lands on the Tobias Harris point, but don't let any secondary playmakers get off. If Tyrese Maxey is going to get his, like, okay, he might give you 30, but just make sure that nobody else is giving you 25. Make sure Cam Payne is not going for 20+.
Make sure that Lowry doesn't just, like, dribble, like, bully you all the way to the middle of the key and hit a floater over you again and again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that movie play.
No doubt. Number three.
Let's see. Oh, take advantage of Philly on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah. Run him out the gym.
Like, everybody is always so concerned about back-to-backs. Like, okay, you got one here.
Mm-hmm.
Go out there and beat somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you. Number three for me, I don't think they can survive another bad Malik Monk game. I need Malik Monk back. These are big games here, man. I can't have this be a stretch where, we've talked about this before, where Monk will just, 2 weeks, he'll average 5-3 or 8-3 or whatever it is. This can't be that time.
Nope.
The best version of the Kings has Malik Monk being a terror off the bench. I need to see it tonight.
Yeah, you can't let go Yeah, like he can't have that like 5-7 game stretch where it's
like disaster.
Great.
It'd be disaster.
I totally agree.
Yeah. So need him back tonight because I don't have to worry about it going to the Mavs.
We do have injury.
Yes.
Injury
please.
Report.
Let's get
stuff.
To the injury report before we get out here.
Yeah, we've got Kevin Huerter and Trey Lyles, of course, are out. We have no update on Trey Lyles yet. We're approaching the 2-week mark, so I'll be on that later this evening. Sasha Vezinkov is still questionable.
Mm-hmm.
He's been questionable for the last 3 games. We have no idea when he will or will not play. For the 76ers, Joel Embiid, Robert Covington, Kai Jones, DeAnthony Melton are all out. Kyle Lowry was resting yesterday, and I'm going to assume he will play tonight.
That'd be my guess.
That would be my guess as well.
Yeah. Want to remind everybody before we get out of here, coming up, 3 big watch parties sponsored by Michelob Ultra Superior Light Beer Thursday, March 28th. That's this Thursday, Sweet 16 watch party at 4 p.m. That's with D'Lo, KC, and Jesse. That'll be at Bar West in downtown Sacramento. That's 2724 J Street. Then Saturday, a couple days later, it'll be me and James. That's March 30th, 3 p.m. for an Elite 8 watch party. Me and James will be down there at Players Sports Pub and Grill at 4060 Sunrise Boulevard in Fair Oaks. Hope to see everybody out at both of those events. And then Monday, April 8th, for the national championship game, there will be a watch party with D'Lo, KC, James, and Jesse at Tom's Watch Bar Sacramento in Doco, right there across from Golden One Center. Come out. Come out to a watch party.
Yeah.
We'll see you there.
I'm all about it. Let's do it.
And we'll see you on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Clear.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Final segment coming up. We'll have D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. One of those two will be in here for the handoff. about 15 minutes. John Lynch spoke at the NFL owners meetings today. And let's see, what were the updates? Treverius Ward and George Kittle both had core muscle surgery. They anticipate being back
for training camp.
He denied the Brandon Ayuk trade rumors that have been out there, said they're in contact with Ayuk about an extension. They are not in contact with other teams about trading him. I don't know that I necessarily believe that, but that's what he said.
He said they were comfortable if he played on his fifth year option.
Yeah, of course they would be.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with Brandon Ayuk playing on his fifth year option.
If he gets hurt.
Yeah. Ayuk doesn't want to do that. It's a $14.2 million salary for this year, but no long-term
stability.
Stability,
yeah.
Thank you. So he is an up-and-coming all-pro wide receiver who, if he gets hurt this year on his fifth-year option, dramatically limits his earning power as a 27-year-old unrestricted free agent. Not undrafted. He's a first-round pick. Unrestricted free agent. So he... The Niners have the this is where it's tough, and these negotiations are hard because the Niners are in the position of power, because Ayuk could just play on his fifth year option and risk it, and risk the potential injury, risk the long term impact and earning potential, but also if he plays that fifth year option, that probably burns the bridge with the 49ers. If the 49ers are like, we're neither trading you nor agreeing to the terms you want on your contract, you go play and we will kick this can down the road. Why, that the motivation for him to re-sign with San Francisco becomes very, very small.
Yeah.
And that's even if he does play. And he would kind of have to, because if you don't accrue the season and you would just come back in the exact same position you were in.
A year older. Yeah.
So the 49ers could, I mean, theoretically go, yeah, play your fifth year option, and then, hey, if we can't agree to something long term, we'll just franchise tag you. Like, the team is in the position of power here, but unless you want to start alienating players and get a reputation around the league, you either extend him or you trade him. And the reason all the trade talks and stuff have come up recently is because if that happens, it'll happen before the draft. The Niners don't want to be trading Ayuk before training camp, where they are now not getting anything of value back for this year. So that would happen here in the next month or so if they were going to trade him.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of a gamble there where you're going, okay, hey, do we think he'll bring his price down to something we're more comfortable with? Can we get this deal done by training camp, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? So the draft will be the kind of turning point, just like it was with the Debo Samuel deal, where it looked like, the Jets were, I don't know if you remember this, the Jets were on the clock at 10. And there was an anticipation of like, hey, this pick could get traded to the 49ers.
Oh, wow.
Like, they are really up against it. So we're not there yet. But Lynch denied that any trade talks have happened. I'm assuming they've talked to teams that have called about it. But I don't think they're out shopping him.
No, and I think teams call all the time and, yes, like, hit you up. Also, it kind of feels, you know, because Buddy Hield's in town today.
Yep.
Feels a little bit like the Buddy Hield situation, where Buddy got a contract in Sacramento, but was never happy with the contract. Like, the day he signed the contract, he was very upset about it. And the Kings had all the leverage again in that situation, right, and because he was a restricted free agent. And he got good money. You know, he got like a, it was a four-year, $86 million deal. It was like a $1 million more than what Harrison Barnes had gotten.
Sure.
And it had easily obtainable bonuses, which would put it up to like $94 million. But his people pitched it as like a $110 million contract. That was at the height. If he reached every benchmark possible, like a bunch of non-obtainable, like if the Kings win the NBA championship, you get $2.5 million. If, you know, you are named like all defensive team, like all of these stipulations in there that he would not have gotten.
Sure.
Anyway, like, Buddy wasn't happy with the contract the day he signed it. And so you basically had a disgruntled player, even though he's under contract for 4 years.
Right.
And that's something that you want to avoid, like with the Ayuk situation. I mean, for like us sitting here, we're just like, man, just pay the guy. Not just pay the guy, because we know that it can be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But make sure he's happy and he's comfortable, because he is part of the two timeline guys.
Yeah. If you're gonna usher in the next era of a potential Super Bowl window, he has to be part of it.
Yeah, I mean, he should be your number one wide receiver along with Brock Purdy for the next 8 years.
And this is what it's being. I have two more things on this. One, it's being made out as though it's, and maybe it is, but to me, this is not a tough decision. It's being made out as a tough decision of the 49ers basically have to decide, hey, do we want to pay Brandon Ayuk?
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler Jennings in the chatty house brings this up where they can actually reduce his salary cap number this year by extending him. So it's not the money this year that matters. It's the money down the road that matters. And they would basically be having to make a decision over the next couple of years of whether they want to keep Brandon Ayuk over the next 3, 4, 5 years, whatever the contract is, and then be getting rid of Debo Samuel and George Kittle, maybe Kyle Juszczyk in there over the next couple of seasons. And to me, that's a no-brainer. It's like 32-year-old George Kittle or 27-year-old Brandon Ayuk is not hard for me. Same thing with Debo Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
Super important players. Super, they've been incredible, and they will be vital to the team's success this year. But if your hang-up on signing Brandon Ayuk is like, well, this is going to make us have to get rid of George Kittle and Debo Samuel over the next couple of years, like, yeah, then so be it. It's kind of how it goes, man. Team building is hard.
Team building is hard, and like, look, Trent Williams can't play forever, and
it's 36,
and Juszczyk can't play forever, and Kittle can't play forever, and you're going to have that money drop off your books,
mm-hmm.
and of course you're going to have to find a new left tackle, you're going to have to find a new star tight end,
sure,
you're going to have to find a new fullback, all of those things, right?
That's how team building works.
It is, and that's why again, to relate it to the Kings, that's why Keon Ellis means so much. It's not mm-hmm. just that he can play. It's that all of a sudden he can play and he's making $1.8 million or $1.6 million. And the next year, $2 million. The year after that, $2.2 mm-hmm. $2 million. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you have a player who, for the next 3 years, you're not going to pay anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not easy, but, you know, the Niners have to, like,
it's just
you got to bite the bullet.
Dude, it's a no-brainer for me. And they restructured Kittle's contract, so getting out from under that deal next year isn't super cheap unless they do it after June 1st. And there's, it's going to cost them based on how contracts are structured.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think Debo Samuel and George Kittle should be a hindrance to the Brandon Ayuk contract.
No.
And maybe they will be. I'm not in the room with the Niners during these negotiations, but the other thing real quick on the Brandon Ayuk stuff, and then we'll move on. Kurt Benkert, who is a backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers and spent a little time with the 49ers, tweeted yesterday that Brandon Ayuk could be a great fit for the Steelers because he has great hands and he's a good route runner and he's a nasty run blocker and he's like Hines Ward. It's like, dude, Brandon Ayuk could be a fit for every single team for all of those reasons. This is just because you called him Hines Ward doesn't make him automatically a fit for the Steelers. There are 32 teams that would benefit from having Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, I don't get that. I mean, yeah, is he a decent downfield blocker? Yeah, but like the Hines Ward comp.
He did that just because it's the Steelers.
Well, yeah, I mean, like is someone out there making Anquan Boldin comps as well? Like,
I have no idea.
That's not what he looks like as a player.
Brandon Ayuk could be a great fit for the Ravens.
Yeah.
It's like Brandon Ayuk out, or he's like Anquan Boldin out there. Like,
no.
Come on, man.
He does.
I just thought that was every team's like, this is Brandon Ayuk could fit great on this team. Yeah. Duh. He's really good.
He's a good football player.
One of the top 12 receivers in the league.
Yeah, he's also, he plays for a team that went to the Super Bowl and has Super Bowl aspirations again next season.
All these things that you like about Brandon Ayuk are all the reasons the 49ers are trying to sign him right now.
Yeah.
It's just
science.
I've been doing a lot of reading into this, and just so many things are being written like, 49ers have to trade him. They have no choice.
Mm.
They're looking to trade him. Like, well, they're not. They might. They might get there by draft day, and Ayuk's people are like, we're not doing anything. $35 million a year is our hard line. Take it or leave it.
Yep.
And at which point, the Niners are probably be like, hey, we're just not paying that much for a receiver. That's too much. We'll trade him. But it's not going to be the difference between, like, they want to pay him 28, he wants 30. I don't think that's going to be a deal breaker. So, anyways, that was all.
All right.
Want to get some good, bad, and ugly from the Kings Magic game?
Yeah, that's fine.
And then I have something I want to talk about with the play-in tournament specifically. Let's finish up Kings Magic with some good, bad, and ugly. What was your first good thing that you took away?
They had four stops in the final 21 seconds.
That was great.
Yep.
Love to see a little defense.
Yeah. Even the final play by De'Aaron Fox on the defense on Paolo Banchero's three-point attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Spectacular.
Yeah. Forced a really, really tough shot.
Yeah, he did.
Yep. The first one for me is winning with an 0-for-11 Malik Monk game.
Mm-hmm.
If you just showed me Malik's stat line and said, hey, how'd this game go? Like, wow, they lost by 20. Like, they cannot win if that happens. Hey, oh, hey, but, or I'd go, oh, they won? Oh, so Duarte have like 25 off the bench? No, 7 bench points.
To 49.
7 bench points.
49-7, you were outscored.
Jonathan
off the bench.
Isaac was plus 25 in 23 minutes. Like, I'd be like, oh my God, they lost by 40.
Yeah.
What? How did, yeah, no. Winning without Malik Monk is a big deal. What was bad?
They needed four stops in the final 21 seconds.
Great point. Get a rebound.
Like at some point, like, grab a board, please. Like, grab a board. Like, don't do this. We've seen this. We've seen this movie play out.
And dude, the longer those go on,
it just kept
like
happening
every time.
Oh no!
It's like one of these is going down.
Oh!
Bad one for me. Chris Duarte had a tough go. That closeout on Jalen Suggs
with Mark Jones saying, "Well, you don't want to foul him right here,"
and then borderline flagrant. I thought for sure we were going to get a review for a flagrant there.
Oh my!
That was a tough closeout from our guy.
It was. It looked like he was.
He looked like a defensive back trying to push a receiver out of bounds before he could get feet in.
Who was it? It was Terry. Whatever the. That tackling guy from
Terry Crews.
Yeah, from Foot Locker, right?
Yeah.
He would fly by and hit somebody.
Office linebacker.
Yeah, the office linebacker. Exactly. That's what
Terry
it was.
Tate.
Terry Tate. It's like, what are you doing? But it's perfect because Mark Jones is like, well, what you don't want to do is foul on the come on. And he hits it. 4-point play. You're like, what is happening?
Just brutal, dude.
Yeah.
What was ugly? Sorry, guys.
Let's see. Oh, that's where I had Monk goes cold. That was ugly. I just don't want it to carry over. Like, yeah. It's one and done. Malik, you had a bad game. Shake it off. Let's go.
My ugly one was the Jalen Suggs foul on De'Aaron Fox at the end of the game. Like, what are you doing, dog? I get that that refs have been letting players get away with murder entire game. But you cannot, at that juncture, run up, put your hand on the guy's waist, and then push him. Even a little bit, forcing him to go into the backcourt. And then the late whistle I thought was weird. Like, they only whistled it because he did step backwards.
Yeah, I think it was they were giving him the benefit of the doubt. Okay, like, what's happening here? Is this going to be a foul? Is it not? And, you know, the push, you're like, okay, well, was it enough? And he's like, if he falls into the backcourt, I'm okay calling it. If not, let's play on.
Right, because you have to call something when he goes into the backcourt.
Yes.
And if they had called a backcourt violation, we're sitting here today opening the show going, he pushed him!
Yes.
Like, it was I couldn't believe that at that spot of the game where you need to stop and just cannot foul, that's the only thing and he just, boop!
Didn't we have the game
fouled him
earlier this year?
Oh my God.
It was like this intense moment late in the game, and was it Keegan that grabbed somebody's jersey before an inbounds, and they got a...
Yes.
They got a technical on it, and whatever it's called.
Yeah.
He gets a shot, and it was like, oh, you can't do that in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really tough. Kenny said Phoenix before the All-Star break. Kenny Caraway coming up here in a second for the handoff. That's a great fit today, man. Really good fit by you. And that's really, really strong. Your mic's not on. There we go. Yeah, get on the mic. There you go. There you go.
I'm just trying to, you know, it's that weird second spring here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not freezing. It's still chilly. You can't walk around with like short sleeves all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just trying to make it. I'm really just trying to make it.
Trying to survive.
It looks great.
The weather change.
Day by day. Day by day.
Are you going to go courtside, Kenny, and get on the denim cam?
No, I'm not.
That'd be huge.
Tonight. I wish I was.
Are you going at all this week?
Oh, my bad.
Text James right now.
The plan is I got to check with the boss, but the plan is Friday. Wanted to go Tuesday and Friday, but Thursday we've got
your watch party.
Watch party,
of course.
And then Friday I
presented
got to go to
by Michelob Ultra.
So for me to be like, yo, I ain't gonna be here
Superior
four
light
nights
beer
this week. Yeah, that'd be pushing my luck.
So yeah.
I'm pushing for Thursday and Friday.
I kind of got that.
The boss though first. I got to make sure my vacation time is I got enough.
Yeah, no, you got to get that approved for sure.
The boss will say no.
That's
you
smart.
Don't have enough time. I don't have enough sick leave.
Man. Kenny Caraway in the building. I wanted to bring this up with both of you guys, so here we are for the handoff, sponsored by possibly you. I used to be out on the play-in tournament thing.
Really?
I just kind of didn't like it. It's kind of grown on me now. But this year particularly, it's so good that it's around because the playoff race would be in the West would be so boring without it.
Mm.
It would just be about seeding, and we'd be in here every day going, hey, who would you rather play? Okay, let's see. If season ended today, they're playing them. They're playing, who's in first right now? Denver? Yeah. They're playing Denver. I mean, the Lakers would be 2.5 back of the Mavs for the final playoff spot.
Mm.
That would be the lone thing to watch right now.
And that'd be like a wish and a prayer. Like,
yeah, you need
Dallas
a
gets you need, cold, maybe the Lake. Like,
you need a lot to go right.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead, we've got the Suns, Kings, Mavs trying to stay out of the play-in with the Pelicans possibly falling, maybe? Mm. Question mark?
You called it first. Look at them Clippers.
What about them?
You called it about 2 weeks ago. Like, I got my eye on the Clippers falling.
That was James.
Oh, well, I heard you say it. So both of you guys. You said it to me.
I kept saying, like, I'm not sold at all on what's happening there, especially once they lost Westbrook. And then they were trying to rest players, and they can't because now they're in a situation where it's like,
Yeah, they look like they got some things they got to figure out. And I don't know if they got enough time to figure it out.
Yeah. That's I think their problem.
I don't think I want that 4-5 matchup. I think I would rather see the Clippers and Pelicans just like go at each other for the 4-5.
I agree. I don't like the Kings against either one of those teams.
Yeah, I prefer the 6-3, whether it's OKC or it's Minnesota.
Right now it'd be OKC. If the Kings finish 7th and win the number 7 seed in the play-in, they'd play OKC.
Okay.
As things shake out right now.
But if they're the 6, you'd play Minnesota.
You'd get Minnesota if things shake out right now.
Yeah.
Shout out to Minnesota hanging around the top of the West, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Ant-Man. Ant-Man's that dude.
I'm in, dude. I'm a full Ant-Man stan now.
Yeah, that's my boy. Ant-Man is on the list of jerseys I got to get.
All right. I mean, well, you want to get matching ones?
Sure.
All right. I'm in.
Well, you get the
I want to get the one with the mountains on it.
No. Well, you get whatever the one is that is their traditional one right now, because that's trash. I'll get the throwback one, like the old KG joint that they wear.
Okay, no, you can do that, and I'm going to get their like City Edition one that's got the mountains on it.
Okay. All right, well, cool.
You can have the KG Edition one. I don't care.
My man.
All right, look at that. All right.
But
James is buying those for us.
Shout out, James.
My man.
Shout out, James.
I have no idea what's happening.
To your original point, yeah. I love the play. There's so many facets of the play-in.
Yes.
Right? So you've got the 9-10 component. Where all of a sudden the Rockets have a shot to be successful in some form or fashion, right? And get into some type of postseason play. So you've got that aspect of it. You've got, I was really sold on it the first year. I think it was the first year they had it. And the Lakers and Warriors played in that 7-8 matchup.
Yeah.
And it was just great drama.
It was super
fun.
It was
great drama.
That was the LeBron three rims game.
That was the LeBron three rims game. It was just great. So I was like, I'm sold on it on that. And then to your other point, the other facet is teams trying to stay out of the play-in. You know what I mean? That sixth spot and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. It just adds so much life to a season. I've been on it since day one, and it hasn't disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down. I like the play-in. I don't. You know, I hope the Kings can somehow avoid the play-in because
yes.
I still don't like the one and done. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just because I'm an Oakland A's fan that's watched them, you know, get that play-in spot a couple of times and then lose in the play-in. You're like, what in the world? You know, because it's one and done.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially after 162-game season, that's brutal to have a one and done.
Right.
But for the Kings, at least, you know, where they sit right now, they'd probably be, it would take 2 games, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And there's a good chance that you're going to have home court advantage in those games.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does come down to, I think, like the games against Dallas this week, the Tuesday and Friday against Dallas, that will mean almost everything for this team.
Mm.
Yeah, I've always liked the games. Mm-hmm. I've always been like, oh, okay, this is cool, this is fun. But I just kind of like, man, 10 teams have a shot. Like, that's... But this year in particular, it just really... I don't know if it's because I'm dialed in with the Kings, and this has just been such a fun kind of side aspect of the season, or if it's because all of a sudden you have the Rockets, a game back of the Warriors, where now all of a sudden that's interesting. Like, the 10-11 is an interesting thing now instead of just, okay, those teams are all out of it.
Absolutely.
This is boring now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then we'll probably get that same scenario again that we had the first year with there's a level of drama. Like, we watch and I don't think anybody thinks that the Lakers or Warriors are like that good right now. But it's still LeBron and Steph.
No doubt.
One of them won't be in the playoffs if they play each other in that playing game. And that's the high drama. That's we locked in for that. So
they'd have to win again just to get into the playoffs.
Exactly.
Man.
Exactly. The one missing component is these things seem a little exclusive to the West. The East doesn't have this same type of drama for whatever reason. Like, the standings are there, but nobody really cares about the teams.
The Nets are 5.5 back of the 10 seed Hawks right now. The Hawks are 31-39 and comfortably a play-in team.
And who really cares about 9-10 there?
See, you're right. The only reason everyone cares is because it's the Warriors and Lakers.
Yeah, if this was the Rockets and Jazz, I don't think anybody would give a dang. A
couple years ago, we had Pelicans and Spurs. And I remember the people in New Orleans were really hyped for that. The 9-10 was in New Orleans, and they were turned up.
New Orleans, sneaky good crowd, dude.
No, when they get invested.
Yeah, they're invested, right. It's
a good place.
We do have a cryptic message from Brandon Ayuk on Instagram.
Oh, what'd he say?
I don't think it's really all that cryptic. It's a dollar sign followed by a head talking.
Uh-huh.
So money talks, and then there appears to be a bull, and then what might be a poo emoji, and then a guy walking. So money.
This
talks,
is we've reached
ES walks.
Nice.
I don't think that's cryptic. I think it's just.
I also don't think it's news, Brandon. Like, yes, we know you want money.
Yeah. We're going to go through this whole thing. He's going to delete everything from his IG at some point. We're going to get more. His brother's going to come out asking for trades. He'll demand a trade at some point. Like, mark my words, Brandon Ayuk's going to demand a trade at some point.
The crazy thing about the scrub your team from your social media is it has a 100% rate of you staying with that team.
It never once.
Kyler
never
once Murray stayed.
And it's so much work, dude. It is so much work to go, okay, I got to go delete this.
They got too much time on our hands.
Like, we all know. We all know what the deal is at this point, man. You don't need to go on social. Just, if you're going to post on social, just be like, pay me. Great. Thanks. We got it.
Yeah, they're going
to
pay you.
And I love the idea that the Niners are like, hey, we're not going to have to pay Brandon. He put what on Instagram? He did what?
No, he did not.
Oh, my God. Get in here. Get Parag in here now.
There's a bull?
With a poop?
And a poop?
What? What?
This is serious
Sign him now.
All right, we got to go. D'Lo and KC coming up next. They're rocking with you until 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. Bloop!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.